Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagigo Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 12 lines from the top of Daf Hey. You'll notice a diamond, in fact a second diamond on this Omid. We started this series during our previous shiur, where we see Rabbonim encountering psukim that arouse their despondency, giving way to their crying. Rabbi Yochanan, ki moti lahai kro bochi. Again, we're at the second Rabbi Yochanan comment on this page. When he would reach the following pasuk, it would cause him to cry. Hein bekedoshov lo ya'amin. The pasuk suggests that even in his holy ones, he had no faith. E bekedoshov lo ya'amin, beman ya'amin, if in his holy ones he cannot trust or have faith, and in whom can he have faith? Yumochad have ka'ozil beurcha. One day he was walking on the road, chazio lahu gavro dave mankid teni, and he met up with a man who was gathering figs. Shovik hanoch demotu. The man who was gathering figs left aside those that had not ripened. In other words, those that had already ripened. Motu means they reached their ripening stage. They were already ripe. V'shokil hanoch de lo motu. He was taking specifically those figs that had not ripened. Omar lei lav hani malon tfei. So Rabbi Yochanan says to this man, is it not so that these, the ripe ones, are better? Omar lei. So the man answered, hani lo urcha bo'inon lahu. The figs that I'm collecting, I need for a long trip. Hani natron vahani lo natron. Those that are not yet ripe, they'll ripen in the course of time as the trip continues. But the ones that are currently ripe, they're lo natron. They won't last. They won't be guarded, literally. In other words, they're going to go bad pretty soon. So there's no point in my collecting them. After all, my reason for collecting them is to have food for a long trip. Omar, then Rabbi Yochanan said, "Hainu dichtiv." It's this that the pasuk has in mind. Hein bekedoshav lo yamin. Now, in order to understand this Gemara, it's very terse. We look at the Rashi. Rashi on the third narrow line from the top of the narrow lines, Hainu dichtiv v'chule ki hechi the b'te'enim ha'toivos yore pen yirakvu. Just like in the case of the figs, those that are the best ones, the ones that are ready, that are ripe and good tasting right now, there's a fear that they will rot. Pen yirakvu, they might rot if you leave them any longer. Af ha'bachurim ha'tzadikim. So too, with regard to the young righteous fellows, ne'echozim lemisa, you can have a situation where they are, their death is imminent, is sought. Pen yechtu, in other words, the Almighty will take young righteous ones, and that will basically be their ultimate benefit, so that they're taken now, when they're still righteous, young, even though they're young, they're righteous, they've achieved righteousness, instead of leaving them to continue living longer with the fear of their going bad, of their sinning, of their leaving the righteousness that they've achieved. The Gemara continues with a question that lasts a number of lines. Aini, is that so, that thusly the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes the young tzaddikim so that they don't sin? Veho hahu talmido dehave b'shivavusei Rabbi Alexandri. There was a student in the neighborhood of Rabbi Alexandri. V'shochiv adzuter, and he died when he was young. V'yomar, and he said, iboi hai mirabonan havachaye. If this young man wanted to live, he could have continued living. So that this arouses the question that V'imi saw, if the above were true, what do you mean if he wanted to continue living, he could have continued living? Dilma mehein b'kedoshav lo yamin havi. Maybe he was one of those that was just explained above in the pasuk where he wouldn't have continued living, where because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said that this is the best thing for him to take him now before he sins. So what does Rav Alexandri intend when he says if he wanted he could have continued living? Rashi, by the way, says e boy have merabonon haim rabonon lios holech v'derech toivim have a chayef. He wanted to go in a good path, he could have continued living. But just to repeat the question, what do you mean if he wanted to go in the good path, he could have continued living? The Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to take him now, being that this is the best thing for him. So the Gemara answers, Hahu mevayit raboisav have. The young man in Rav Alexandri's neighborhood was not amongst the righteous that we alluded to above. Rather, he was one who rebelled against his teachers. And as a result, so the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't have any interest in taking him to prevent him from losing his high level of righteousness. To the contrary, this person was at this point a sinner. And Rav Alexandri said that had he wanted to change his ways, he would have been able to continue living. Rabbi Yochanan Kimoti Lahai Kro Bochi. When Rabbi Yochanan would reach the following pasuk, he would cry, V'korafti aleichem lamishpot v'yisi arid mimaher b'mechashvim uva'benu'afim uva'nishboim la'shoker uva'oishkei schar socher. The Almighty proclaims that He is going to bear witness against the sorcerers, the people involved with immorality, those that swear falsely, and those that withhold wages of workers. And Rabbi Yochanan responded to this pasuk by saying, Eved sheraboi mekarvoi loduno umemayer loido takoni yeshlo. The slave whose master is drawing near to judge him and will swiftly testify against him, does such a slave have any chance? And of course this is a reference to the Jewish people, that when they sin, here the Master, the Almighty, is testifying that he's going to judge them and bear witness against them that they did sin rapidly. So what chance do we have? Omar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Oy lonu sheshokal aleinu akosuv kalois kechamurois. Woe unto us that the posuk places on the same footing, weighs one against the other, the kalos, the light offenses, together with the heavy offenses. Now Rashi points out, kalos kechamuros oishke ishar sochir, kimenafim umechashvim, withholding of wages, though it's a reprehensible form of behavior, it's relatively speaking a light offense relative to sorcery and immorality. And yet, that which we would have regarded as light is considered like a heavy offense. The Gemara continues, Omar Reish Lakish kol hamate dinoi shel ger. He who is unjust toward the convert, mate has to do with tilting the justice against him, ki'ilu mate dinoi shel malo. It's as if he is being unjust toward the Ribono Shel Olam. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Umatei ger, umati ksiv. When you read the word without vowelization, you could read the word as well, mati, means one who is unjust toward me, who weighs judgment against me. Omar Abichina Chanina Bar Papa. Kala Oise Dovar Umischareit Boi Moichalin Loi Miad. Anyone who does something, who sins, but has remorse, he feels bad about his having sinned, this is reason for immediate forgiveness. Shenamar Velo Yire Umi. This is a quote from the Pasuk that we mentioned above, we were darshaning above, from Malachi Perek Gimel Pasuk Hey. And in that Pasuk it says, and they had no fear of me. Ha Yireuni, Mochalin Lo Miad. If they did have fear of me, which is manifest in one's having regretted sinning, then they would have received forgiveness. Rabbi Yochanan Kimoti Lahai Kro Bochi, Ki es Kol Maaseh Elokim Yovi Bamishpat Al Kol Ne'elam. Eved Sherabo Shokilo Shkogos Kizdonos. Now, the pasuk that we read, it mentions that all that one does will be brought to in judgment. Al Kol Ne'elam, even on those things that are Ne'elam. Ne'elam means hidden, which for our purposes means things that are done sins that are done unwittingly, b'shogeg. But even those, one will be held accountable for. So with regard to this, Rabbi Yochanan said, Eved sheraboy shoykelo shgogos kezaynis, the slave whose master considers the unwitting like that which is premeditated, takona yeshlo, does a servant like that have any hope? My al kol ne'elam. In the pasuk we read, it said he will be held accountable for everything, even that which is hidden. So, in order to explain this, we see a couple of pshatim in the Gemara. And before we do the Gemara, we should look at Rashi, who says ki es kol masel kim yofim mishpat al kol ne'elam. Al kol, the next Rashi says, al kol afilu dovor muat b'mashma. By saying al kol, it implies even something of a very seemingly minor nature we are held accountable for. So Omar Rav, we continue in the Gemara. Rav says, zeha horig kino b'fnei chaveroi v'nim as bo. This is someone who kills a kino, a lice, very small type of insect. He kills it in front of his friend, and his friend is disgusted by it. That is reason enough to be held accountable as having caused disgust to his friend. And all the more so, things that are larger, people trampling on all kinds of large insects and causing say crunching noises that others find that disgusting, abominable, reprehensible, and therefore he who does so and causes his friend to be upset is held accountable. Ushmuel Omar ze horok b'fnei chavero v'nimas. This kol ne'elam is referring to someone who spits in front of his friend, and that causes his friend to be disgusted. My im toiv v'imra. Now this is a continuation of Pasuk Yudalid that we just read, that ended with Al Kol Ne'elam, and it says in the continuation of that Pasuk, im toiv v'imra. Now the Rashi says, my im toiv, the mashma af al ha-toivo mevio b'mishpat. From this, in this Pasuk, which says that everything a person does, he will be held accountable for and will be judged. This seems to include even things that he did good, that he did something positive. He'll be held accountable. What does that mean? Omar Amri Debei Rabbiani. So we continue in the Gemara. We should note that the triangles that we see here are featured on the side under the Mivneh heading, Pirushim LaPosuk Im Tovim Ra. These are explanations of the Posuk Im Tovim Ra. We could note, maybe ahead of time, but three lines from the bottom is another triangle around Shmuel. The fact that there's a triangle here, this is a reflection of Rashi's approach to the Gemara. Tosfos and Rabbi Natam disagrees with that, with that which we've marked as the last triangle on the page, three lines from the bottom. Till we get there, though, we have other pshatim. What does it mean that a person will be held accountable even for the seeming good things that he did? Amri debe Rav Yana, zeh hanoiseng stoka la'oni befarhesya. This is a person who gives charity to a poor man. Now that in and of itself is a good thing to do, to give charity. However, he does it in public. Kiha de Rabbi Yanai, like is illustrated in the case featuring Rabbi Yanai, Chazia luhu gavro de koyoyev zuzol oni befarasio. He saw a man giving a poor man some charity in public. Omar lay, so Rabbi Yanai said, mutov de lo yavis lay. It would have been better had you not given him anything. Mehashto diavis lay vikasafte, instead of giving him in public, and kasafte means and causing him embarrassment. Human nature is such that a person doesn't want to feel that he is the receiver of charity. So if it's done in private, where a person doesn't experience embarrassment, fine and good. That's a mitzvah. However, when done in public, that shames the individual. Better not to have given him anything than to give him and cause him shame at the same time. Debe Reb Shilo Amri, in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shilo, they explain this pasuk im tov v'imra. Sa'anoi saint stoka le'isha b'seser. Again, he's giving charity. That's a good thing. However, the way he does it is not. He's giving it to a woman in private. To komaisi lo lidei chashoda. This causes people to raise suspicions regarding the woman. What was she doing there in private with this fellow who was in fact giving her tzedakah, but in the eyes of the public, they don't know what was transpiring. They therefore can start suspecting her of foul play. We see here, as we see in so many places throughout the Shas, a certain concept. And that is acts of loving kindness, we call chesed. Without the sensitivity of the Chazal, without the sensitivity of our rabbis, our sages, our tradition that you see in the Gemara, that which is perceived on a popular mass level as an act of loving kindness, in fact, turns out to be quite negative. In fact, it's the opposite of loving kindness, but rather it causes shame and despair, where had the wisdom of the sages been applied, that would never have happened. So that even though it might seem to many on a popular level, hey, Bob, guy calls out to his friend, hey, Bob, I heard your business went under here, take $100 and treat your family to a nice weekend. Yeah, but Bob is insulted by the announcement of his business having gone under. He doesn't want other people to hear about that. So, better for you not have given him anything than to do it that way. And many, many more examples. Time doesn't allow us now, but as we go through all of the Shas, Masichta after Masichta, you see many, many examples of the sensitivity of Chazal when it comes to acts of loving kindness. So, it's not enough for a person to say simply, what do I have to learn all this Torah for? I'm a good person at heart. Well, even that can be challenged. Are you really a good person? So we continue with our Gemara. Rava Omar, what does Im Tov V'Imra mean? Zeh Meshager L'Ishtoi. Meshager means sends. He sends a portion of meat. She'eno Mechutuch Barvei Shabosis. So we have to give a little bit of background here. In different parts of the animal that's slaughtered in a kosher way, there nevertheless remain different types of tissue matter that are forbidden to eat. That includes things like gid hanoshe and chaylev. In order to enable the portion of meat to be eaten, one has to either know that these sections were removed, or if you are yourself experienced, you know how to remove it, but it requires study and practice. Now, a person sends a leg of beef to his wife on Friday. There's very little time to take out the forbidden sections, the gid hanoshe and the chaylev. And you're putting undue pressure on your wife. She won't be able to prepare properly for Shabbos. so that even though you thought it was a nice thing to provide the meat for your wife on Erev Shabbos, nevertheless, it's she won't know how to remove the the forbidden sections with the due attention. The Gemara asks, Amy, is that really so, that it's a negative thing to send untreated meat on Erev Shabbos? Well, Rava Mishagir, Rava sent to his wife. His wife happened to be the daughter of Rav Chisda. Well, Rava sent to her meat on Erev Shabbos, and she prepared it, nothing went wrong. The Gemara says, Shiny Vas Rav Chisda is different. She's not a good example. The Kim Lei Begavo de Bekiyo. Rava knew that she was expert, so with great alacrity and adroitness, she was able to remove the forbidden sections, not leaving her in a lurch and not causing anyone to eat that which would be otherwise forbidden. But she, as we said, was a Bekiyo. Bekiyo means she was expert in it. Not so with standard housewives. And therefore, Rava's explanation stands. Rabbi Yochanan kimoti lahai kro bochi, v'hoya ki simtsena oisoi rois rabois vetzoros. The pasuk describes the Jewish people being afflicted with many trials and tribulations. Evet shirabo mamsi lo rois vetzoros, a servant whose master prepares for him all kinds of punishments and sufferings. Takona yeshlo, does a slave like that have any hope? My roos vitzoros. The pasuk made reference to roos. Ra means something's negative, and soros are troubles, sufferings. What does it mean over here? Omar Rav, roos shenasu tzoros zu lezu. Evil things or punishments that end up being afflicting one another. Still, that's quite vague. What do you mean? Can you illustrate that? What does that mean? Two troubles that actually conflict with one another. Kagoin zibura v'akrufa. The Gemara here is quite terse. It says like someone who was stung by a bee and a scorpion. Rashi points out, quoting the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zorah, that the treatment for a scorpion bite is hot water, warm water, hot water applied to the area, and the contrary with a bee sting, there you need cold water. So, and the Gemara says that if you treat the that particular sting with the opposite kind of opposite temperature water, that will endanger the individual. So now, a person who is stung by both a bee and a scorpion at the same time, what hope does he have? Whatever treatment he applies is going to be the negative for the other one, and here he's afflicted with both. Ushmuel Omar. And now, regarding Shmuel, we pointed out that Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rashi. We're going to be adopting the Rashi approach. Rashi says that this Shmuel is a reflection back on the Pasuk Im Tov Im Ra. Tosfos says no, but that Shmuel is explaining the Pasuk of Rois Vitzoros. So, following Rashi, Ushmuel Omar, Ze Hamamtsi Loi Mois Leoni Bishas Dochako. What is Tov Im Tov Im Ra? Here he's providing money for a poor man. But again, the timing is the problem. B'shas dochoka, when he's very pressed. So you might ask, what's the problem if he's very pressed for funds? So isn't it a nice thing to give him money? So now we take a look at Rashi. Ze hamamtsi mois loni b'shas dochoka. First of all, Rashi says ali el koyim toiv imra, as we explained already, and that was the reason we have a triangle here to attach Shmuel to the above comments that we're explaining im tov imra. Harogil lahamtsi tzidkosul oni, person who accustoms himself to giving money to the poor man, b'shas dochako, when the poor man is really pressed, that's when you come up with the funds. V'lo kodem shas dochak, man's poor, but he's not necessarily pressed right now, but nevertheless, you don't give him the money beforehand. You give it when he's really desperate. As Rashi says, we'll read again, v'lo kodem shas dochak, shiyocho levakesh mezoinoisev luknoisem b'shas azol.
a person, he's got food for the next couple of days in his cabinet. So if you would give him money now, that would give him a chance, it would give him an opportunity to seek out where can he get some more food cheap. And he's not so pressed right now because, as we said, he has a supply. However, someone who doesn't give the ani the money, he doesn't give the poor man the money, the charity, until he's pressed. So he's pressed, there's no food left, he has a household to feed, he has no choice but to buy from the nearest market, even if it's very expensive, because, as we say, he has no choice. So that even though it seems to be a nice thing to give him charity, but you don't do it so in a wise way. And that's what we mean, im tov, im ra. Omar Rava, hainu de amri inshi, it's with this in mind that there's a common saying, zuza la'alula lo shchicha. Latlisa shechiach. Alula has to do with grains. So he says that money, zuzar, coins for the purchase of grains is not common. Lo shechicha, you don't find that people give money ahead of time. However, latlisa shechiach. Latlisa, Rashi says, lehefsid uleibud. That's one pshat. Rashi has another pshat. But for our purposes, it's a common saying that people have that reflects the point we were mentioning, that money for that which is necessary or that which is good timing, that you're not going to find. However, when it's at the point of despair, oh, that's when you find it. That's when you find the money. The chora api boy bayoim hahu vazavtim vistarti ponai mehem. The pasuk goes on to say, "V'hoyo lechol umotzuhu rois rabois vetzorois." This is from Sefer Dvorim, Perek Lamed Aleph, pasuk Yud Zayin. You see, in this pasuk, you see the term rois rabois vetzoros, like we saw quoted above in pasuk Chof Aleph. The pasuk is a reflection of a time when HaKadosh Baruch, when the Almighty, is very angry. I will abandon them and hide from them, and they will be then consumed by all kinds of evils and sufferings. Omar Rav Bardalo Bar Tevimi, Omar Rav, Kol She'eno Behester Ponim, Einoi Mehem. The pasuk mentioned Vistarti Ponai Mehem. Anyone who doesn't experience the absence of Hashem, the hiding where Hashem hides from a person. In other words, a person who is not behester ponim is a person that's having it good. The Almighty is with him, he's benefiting him. Anyone who is like that, that's, again, there's a double negative here. He's not behester ponim. He's not with the absence of the Lord, the hiding of the Lord. So he's not considered, he's not viewed, you wouldn't view him as someone who's part of the Jewish people. What characterizes the Jewish people? Jewish people are constantly, through the ages, constantly experiencing oppression. Whether it be a pogrom, whether it be attempts at genocide, economic sanctions, condemnations in the UN. If a person is not subject to that, he's probably not Jewish. Kol she'eno b'vahoyo lecho. This v'hoyo lecho is in the same pasuk that we just read, that he would be consumed by affliction. So anyone who is not like that, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, eino mehem. He is probably not part of the Jewish people. Omulei rabbonon l'rova. The rabbi said to Rava, "Mar lo behester ponim isay v'lo b'vahoyo lechol isay." Simply put, you have it very good. You're not a person that seems to be one from whom the Almighty hides His face. You're not a person that seems to be subjected to consuming affliction. Omar Lahu. So Rava turns to the rabbis who thought that he has it really good. He says to them, Miyadisu kamo meshadarno betzino beishover malko. Do you have any idea how much I send, how much money I send to pay off, to pay them off, those in the house of King Shafur? In other words, you think that I have it good, but if your thinking is only because you don't see me being plundered by the Gentile monarchy, you've got it all wrong. I'm constantly paying them off. Afilu hachi, even so, even though Rava gave his response to the Rabbanan, Yavu be Rabbanan einayu, the Rabbanan had nevertheless literally cast their eyes upon him. They demonstrated their I don't know if the word jealousy is appropriate, but their thoughts concerning Rava's having it good. So they nevertheless did. We sometimes refer to this as the Ayin Hora. They cast their eyes upon him. Adahochi, and in the meantime, Shodur Debe Shovur Malka Vigarvuhu, the royal forces, they came and plundered Rava's holdings. Omar Hainu Desanyo. Well, when Rava experienced that, he then said, "That's what is intended by the following source." Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, "Komokum shenosu chachomim einehem." Wherever the rabbis place their eyes, where they gaze upon someone, omisa oyoni. The result is either death or impoverishment. So he felt that he was the victim of the Rabbanan having looked upon him the way they did, and he suffered this poverty. V'yonochi haster astir ponai b'yomahu. The Almighty says, and the day will come that I will hide from them. I will be there, but in a hidden fashion. Omar Rabba, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Afalpi shistarti ponai mehem, even though I hide from them, I no longer appear to them. B'chalom adaber bo, I will still communicate with them in dreams. Rav Yosef Omar, Yodoi netuyo olenu, his arm is outstretched upon us to protect us. Shenemar, the pasuk says, uvetzel yodi kisisicha, and through the shadow of my arm I cover you. And at this point in the Gemara, you can see we have a long marking, a Maisa. On the side, we indicate Maisa Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, She'api Koris Toan Negdo. It was an incident where a scoffer, a apikores, challenged Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, saying, Shakodesh Baruch Hu Ozav Es Am Yisrael, claiming that the Almighty abandoned the Jewish people. Uma, Rabbi Yeshua Shivan, and then we'll see what Rabbi Yeshua Ben Chananya answers him. This is an example of a Gemara where you find a hidden message, reference to those nations, those religions that profess the idea that the Almighty has abandoned the Jewish people. He's switched them for some other for others. So we continue now in the Gemara. Bishua ben Chananya havekoi bekesar. He was standing in the palace of the Caesar. Achvile ahu apikursa. The term achvile you find here in many and numerous other places. It's a reference to a form of communication that is non-verbal. It's motions, body motions, arm motions. A type of, say, sign language, a type of sign communication, but it's not verbal. So, and yet, a message is being communicated. So, there was an apikoros that did this motion. Amo dahadrinu more lape mine, that you are a nation from whom the Almighty has turned his back on them. By the way, Rashi on the third line from the top. Apikursim she'eno maminim l'divrei razal. A pretty clear reference to those that would be members, we'll say, of early Christianity, those people that denied the oral law, the teachings of the sages, Kagon Sedukim. So that you have Rashi here interchanges the word apikursim and sedukim, sedukim being an illustration of apikursim, and as we suggested, it's those forces which not only Christianity, but you have certain strains nowadays of people that are genealogically speaking Jews, but in practice and in affiliation, they are deniers of the oral tradition. It always remains a mystery to me how one can accept the written Torah, the Bible, as is referred to, and deny the centrality of rabbinic literature, when the Torah itself is basically a closed book without the oral tradition. The most obvious example of that is vowelization. When you look at a traditional Torah scroll, the original Bible, if you will, there's no vowelization. Words can be read in many different ways. So how would one even begin to understand the reading of the scriptures without an oral tradition? And, of course, there are many, many mitzvot that are found in the Torah that without an oral tradition, one wouldn't have any idea of how to even begin practicing them. Take something as simple as circumcision. The Torah makes a reference to cutting off the orla. What does the word orla mean? What's it a reference to? And when you look at other scriptures, you'll find that orla can refer to a part of one's ear, a part of one's heart is a circumcision, therefore cardiac surgery. You have psukim, for example, that say that you should wear tefillin. And the word tefillin itself doesn't appear, but you have the word totofos. Ukshartam lo sa yodecha, you tie a sign on your arm. What in the world is the sign? How would anyone know what the scripture is referring to without the oral tradition which describes these things? Ritual slaughter, shchita, is not explained in the scriptures whatsoever. And on and on and on. Everything, every single mitzvah, the most significant of mitzvahs, possibly mitzvah Shabbos, for example, Shabbos restrictions, there's no clear reference to what that is when you read the Torah. Nevertheless, there are so many that claim to accept the scriptures and will deny the centrality, they deny altogether the significance of the rabbinic or oral tradition. So the Apikoros is one of those. And he communicates to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya in this fashion called Achvi. He demonstrates, makes a motion that you are a people that the Almighty has abandoned. Achvi lei, so Rabbi Yehoshua communicates back, Yodoi netuyo aleinu. He protects us. Amalei Kesar Rabishua. The Kesar was present, the Caesar was present during this interchange. He says to Rabishua, my Achvilach, what did he show you? What did he communicate to you? So Rabishua says, Amo Dadrinu More Lape Mine. He tried to forward the claim through his hand motions that we are a nation that the Almighty has abandoned. Vano Machvin ole, and I signaled back to him, Yodo netuyo aleinu. Though he might hide himself from us, nevertheless, his arm is outstretched, protecting us. Omru le lahu mino. So then they turn to the min. The min is that apikores, the tzeduki, the denier, the scoffer, and they said to him, my achvis le, what did you communicate to him? So he said, the min is the as I say, this apikores, he said, Amo dadrinu more lape mine, that you are a nation that the Almighty has turned away from. Umay achvilach, so what did he say back to you? Lo yadana, so the min says, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know what he was saying back to me, what he was motioning back to me. Omru, so the members of the Caesar's court said, Gavro de lo yoda, my machvu le bemochud. Yahvi, Kami, Malka, a person who doesn't understand this form of communication has the nerve to do so in front of the king? In other words, in order to be to appear in front of the Caesar, one was and communicate in this fashion or this form of communication, one had to be expert in it. Not just anyone could come along and appear there. So this guy obviously was someone who was not skilled. He wasn't conversant in this form of communication. Afkuhu v'kadlu, they took him away and they killed him. Ki ko nicho nafshe de Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. When Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya himself was about to die, Amru le Rabbonan, his colleague said to him, My teve alon ma'apikursin. What's going to be with us in our debates against these scoffers? Up till now, you have been around and you were able to fend them off with your wisdom. But what's going to be now with your death, upon your death? Omar lahem, Rabbi Shua said back to them, you don't have to worry. And he quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, words that appear before that, which is in your Gemara text, we wrote in between the lines. It said, "Le'edoim koi omar Hashem tzevokos ha'enod chokma b'teimon avdo etsa mibonim nisruha chokmasan." And now we darshan. Rabbi Yeshua explains, "Kevon she'avdo etsa mibonim, when counsel is lost from the sons, nisruha chokmasan shelumas olam, the wisdom of the nations of the world also is lost, also goes bad." Which basically means that the Kodesh Baruch Hu always maintains a balance in this world. That whatever strength there is of tumah, of that which is reprehensible or defiled, there is an opposite and equal strength to that which is holy. Another approach to this, in other words, this can be illustrated from the following pasuk. Vayomer nisa v'neilecha v'elcha l'negdecha. This pasuk was in the meeting of Esav and Yaakov, where Esav wanted to go alongside Yaakov on their journey, and he says, "Let us walk together on an equal basis." And we're borrowing from this pasuk this idea that the forces of light and the forces of darkness are linegdecha. They're kept on an even level. Rabbi Ilo have a solik bedarga debe rabo bar shila. Rabbi Ilo was going up a flight of stairs or a ladder in the yeshiva of Rabbi Bar Shila Shame. Lianuka dave kokori. He heard a child reading the following pasuk. Kine yoytzer horim uvorei ruach umagid l'odom masichoi. The creator of the mountains and the winds will tell a person what is in his conversation. Omar. So upon hearing that, Rabbi Ilo said, Eved sherabai magid loi masichoi. An eved, a slave whose master is able to report, to tell him what his private conversations are, does that slave have any hope? My masicho, what does the pasuk intend when it makes reference to even his conversations? Omar Rav, afilu sicho yaseiro shebein ish li ishto magidim loy laodom she b'shas misa. Even something as intimate, as private, as a husband's speech, his conversation with his wife, he will be informed of at the time of his death. The Rashi points out Sicha Yesera means extra speech. Divrei Schoik Shelifnei Tashmish. This is the way that couples talk to one another. A man speaks to his wife before they conduct intimacy with one another. Divrei Schok is lightheadedness, joking that a man does with his wife before intimacy. So that Rav says that that's what the Pasuk is saying, that a person will be held accountable even for that levity that he shows toward his wife before intimacy. The Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? And here we want to emphasize that was Rav's explanation of the Pasuk. But here we're going to see a story which involves Rav, who himself engaged in Divrei Tzchok with his wife. V'hal Rav Kahana, there's a story involving Rav Kahana was a student of Rav. Havagoni tusi purei de Rav. Goni literally is to sleep. It means he crawled under two savings underneath Puria, the bed. He crawled under Rav, the bed of Rav. That's Puria the Rav. Vishamei, and he heard Rav Kahana from under the bed where Rav and his wife slept. He heard the soch v'tzochak v'yosat srochov. He heard the Rav talking to his wife, communicating with his wife. There was laughter and there was intimacy. And all of this was done while Rav Kahana was under their bed. Omar, and there a voice comes out from under the bed. Domi pume de Rav kemande lo toim le tafshila. And now, literally, he's saying that it appears that your mouth is like someone that never tasted any food. That your Rashi says, someone who is famished, klomar misav letashmish, that you're engaged in this with such extensive desire. Omar lay, so Rav says, Kana, poke. He says to him, get. He says, go out of here, leave. Lav orachara. It's not proper. It's not proper behavior for you to be here. But at this point, though, we have a question. You see that how can Rav say that Sicha Yisera with a man with one's wife is something that a man is held accountable for when Rav himself practiced thusly? Lo kashya. No, there is no question here. Kan ditzorach lutzia ha delo tzorach lutzia. There are situations between couples where he needs to appease her. It's in order to make her a willing partner. It's necessary for the husband to laugh and joke with her, to relax her, or get her spirits up. In such a case, so then the tzchok is necessary. However, if that's not necessary and he does it anyway, that's haldolot tzorach lutzia. And that, and for, it's under those circumstances that a person is judged. Why did you engage in this extra levity when it wasn't necessary? V'imloi tishmu'uha v'mistarim tivke nafshi mipnei geva. The Gemara analyzes Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Inyo Mishmei de Rav Mokoim Yesh Lo Lakodesh Baruch Hu Mistarim Shmo. There is a place that the Almighty has, and the name of that place is Mistarim. Now Mistarim has to do with something that's hidden away, covered, isolated. There's a place that the Almighty has that's called Mistarim. Interestingly, in English you have the word mystery, which might have some etymological connection. So the pasuk indicates that there is that which is heard in Mistarim, and I cry over it. And it said mipnei geva. What does that mean? My mipnei geva. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok mipnei gavoson shel Yisrael shenitlo mehem venitno li'ovdei kechavim. So there's a reference to a bemoaning, a crying over the glory, the honor, of the Jewish people that once was and it was removed from them and given to idol worshippers. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar mipnei gavosa shel malchus shemayim shenitla. The crying referred to in this pasuk is over the loss of the glory of malchus shemayim, of the heavenly kingdom. Umi iko b'chiyo kame hakodesh baruch hu. Is there such a thing as crying in the presence of the Almighty? Ve'omar Rav Popo ein atzivus And we say in the presence of the Almighty, it seems from the context of this Gemara that is there crying on the part of the Almighty? Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu cry? The Omar Rav Papa, Ein Atzivus Lefnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu. There's no such thing as sadness in the presence of Hashem. Shneimar, Hoy V'Hodor Lufonav Oiz V'Chedva Bimkomo. These are different expressions of glory and grandeur. That's what is in front of the Almighty. And chedva is joy in His presence. So how can the posuk refer to crying in His presence when that's not characteristic of the Almighty? Lo kashya. Ha bebote gavoy, ha bebote baroy. There's called an inner sanctum and an outer court. And the inner sanctum, that's mistorim. And there, you can have crying. In the outer sanctum, the baroi, outside, there only joy. Ubebote baroi, lo. And with regard to the outer courts, is there no crying? Vogsiv. The Pasuk says, Vayikra Hashem, Hashem tzevokos bayom ahu levechi ulemispe lukorchu v'chagor sak. Now, in the Pasuk we have Vayikra. Vayikra Rashi says, Vayikra indicates the emitting of sounds. Something is heard. And on that day, it says, there will be heard crying and eulogizing and ripping out of hair and the girding of sackcloth. But we see that in the presence of the Almighty, there is crying. The Gemara says, Shiny Churban Abayis. Shiny Churban Beis HaMikdash. That Pasuk is when it is a reference to the day of destruction of the Holy Temple. That is different. The Afilu Malachi Shalom Bachu, that on that day even the heavenly angels cried. Shenemar Hein Er Elom Tzaku Chutzo Malachi Shalom Mar Yivkoyun. So that on the day of the destruction, even though in general the outer courts of the Almighty are characterized by joy, not so on that particular day, where even the angels cried. The Pasuk says, V'domoa tidma v'sered eini dima, ki nishbo eider Hashem. In this Pasuk you can see we've numbered off three references to tears. Omar Rebbe Lozer, Shalosh demois halolu loma. The reference to three tears in this pasuk. What is it a reference to? Achas al mikdash rishon. One is our tears shed over the destruction of the first temple. The achas al mikdash sheni. One on the destruction of the second temple. The achas al Yisrael shigolu mimkomon. And the third, a reference to the Jewish people that were cast into exile. The ikod damri. Another opinion. Another version, Achas al Bitul Torah. Another version has a third tear shed over the non-study of Torah. Bishlamo l'man d'omar al Yisrael shigolu. Regarding that explanation, the first explanation, that the third set of tears was over the dispersion of the Jews into the exile, that's understandable by virtue of the pasuk itself. Hainu dichtiv, that's what it says in the pasuk, ki nishba eder Hashem, that nishba is to be taken into captivity, the eder, the flock of the Almighty. So the flock of the Almighty, the Jewish people, have been taken into captivity. They've been cast into the exile. El olaman diomar abitul Torah. But as far as that opinion that says the third set of tears was cast as a result of non-study of Torah, my kinishbo eder Hashem. What's the connection between Bittul Torah and the taking into captivity of the Jewish people? The Gemara says they're actually one and the same. Kevon shigolu Yisrael mimekomon, since the Jews have been dispersed and cast out of their place, ein lecha Bittul Torah gadol mizeh. There is no greater cause of non-Torah learning than being dispersed and cast out of your home. Tonu Rabbanan, a Tanaic source that in and of itself is a little bit vague, and will Mirtz Hashem offer some additional commentary courtesy of the Maharsha. Shloisha Kodesh Baruch Hu Boruch Aleihem B'Chayim. There are three that the Almighty cries over every day. One, Al She'efshar La'asoik B'Torah V'Eino Oisek. Someone who is capable of Torah study and does not do so. V'Al She'efshar La'asoik B'Torah V'Oisek. And one who is incapable or unable to study Torah, and he does. Very strange that the Kodesh Baruch Hu would cry over that. And the third over which the Almighty cries is the Parnas, the leader who rules over a community with a haughty or heavy hand. The Gemara itself does not elaborate on this source, but to leave it as is would be not fitting. The source describes the Almighty crying over three categories. The second one certainly is perplexing. So the Marshal explains, when you read the first example, Al She'efshar La'asoik, to one who is capable of studying, and it goes and doesn't. V'eino Oseik. The Marshal is Midayik. He says it doesn't say here V'eino Oseik Batorah, it just says V'eino Oseik. So what this is a reference to is someone who is Eino Oseik, he's not engaged in anything, not Torah and not other things, but rather he sits idly all day. So, okay, that's number one. That's certainly something worthy to cry over. One who is capable, he has the potential of Torah studying, and he does nothing. Number two was Al She'ef Shalasek B'Torah V'Osek. Here the Marshal comments that the expression E-Efshar doesn't refer to someone who is incapable of Torah study. It is a reference to a person who has involved himself with so many other things that preoccupy him, and as a result of all of those other things, he put himself into a position where he cannot immerse himself in Torah study. The Oseik means, and he does occupy himself with all kinds of other things that prevent him from the study of Torah. So number two is a person who has simply piled upon himself all kinds of preoccupations that cause him to be busy with all kinds of other matters, and is constantly preoccupied with that and doesn't learn any Torah. Continuing the Gemara, Rebbe Havenokid Sefer Kinos V'Kokori Begavei. Rebbe was holding the Book of Lamentations. Sefer Kinos in the Gemara is a reference to what we call Megillas Eicha, not Kinos that one reads on Tisha B'Av. Those are it's a separate book of many later compilations as well. But Sefer Kinos is a reference to Sefer the Book of Eicha. And he was reading Begave in it. Kimota lai psukah, when he got to the following posuk, Hishlich mishamayim oretz, Perek beis posuk aleph. So nofal min yodei, the book fell out of his hands. Omar meigra rom labira amikto. How sad it is to have been cast from a high roof. Igra is a roof, rom high up, down to bira is a bor, a pit. So that's amikto, very deep pit. The Gemara continues with an incident. Notice that the incident itself lasts a number of lines. And before we go into the Gemara text itself, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, the Nosei, Chashivus Kabbalas Ponim Shel Talmud Chacham. First, we're going to learn about the importance of greeting a Torah sage. If you're visiting a community, and in that community there is a Torah scholar, it's proper, it behooves one to go visit them. And also Maisa im Rebbe v'Rebbe Chiyah shekiblu pnei Talmud Chacham sumo. We'll see a story involving Rebbe and Rebbe Chiyah greeting a blind Torah scholar. The Gemara. Rebbe v'Rebbe Chiyah havashakli v'azli v'urcha. Rebbe and Rebbe Chiyah were walking on the road. Ki motu lahu masa, when they arrived at a certain town, Amri, they said, if there is a Torah scholar here, Nezel v'nikvel apei, let us go and greet him. Amri, they were informed, there is a Torah scholar in this town, Umor Einayim Hu, and he is unsighted, he is blind. Omru le Omar Le Rebbe Chiya LeRebbe. So Rebbe Chiya says to Rebbe, Tiv At, Rebbe was the Nossi, he was the, in English he's referred to as Rabbi Judah the Prince. He was the head of the Jewish people of his time. And Rebbe Chiya says to Rebbe, Tiv At, you sit here, Lo Tezalzel B'Nesiuasecha, and don't demean your position of leadership, of princeliness. I will go and greet the Torah scholar. It could very well be, and after all, he is blind, so it won't make too much difference. He wouldn't be able to see you anyway. That's possibly also a factor over here. Nevertheless, the Gemara goes on. Takfe v'ozabadei Rebbe was insistent. He overpowered Rebbe Chiya, and he went along with him. It's also noteworthy, you can see in the 7th parak of Bava Metzia, the Gemara highlights Rebbe's nature of humility. He was known as a very humble, self-effacing individual. So it's not surprising that Rebbe Chiya's pleas to Rebbe to preserve his lofty status, his lofty office, and remain behind, were unheeded by Rebbe, the very humble individual. So Rebbe overpowers him and goes along with him. Kiavu miftari mine, when they departed from this blind Torah scholar, Omar Lahu, he, the blind rabbi, said to them, Atem hikbaltem ponim hanirim ve'enon royim. You had the decency of greeting the face of one who is seen, who can be seen by others, but himself cannot see. Tisku, you should merit, lahakbil ponim haroyim ve'enon nirim. To be greeted by that face, it's a reference to the Almighty that sees but cannot be seen. The Almighty, obviously, is not one who one can see, can even perceive. So that in the merit of your greeting me, one who can be seen but himself cannot see, you should merit being greeted by one who sees and cannot be seen. Omar Lay, Rebbe says to Rebbe Chiya, Ichu Hashta, had I listened to you and remained behind, Monoson Mehai Birchos, you would have prevented me from receiving this glorious, this outstanding blessing. Omru Le, they said to the Torah scholar, Miman Shmi Aloch, from where do you know that greeting, that this practice of Kabbalah's Ponim, of a Talmud Chacham, is such a significant thing? So he answers, Mipirkei de Rabbi Yankiv Shmia Li. I heard it from the Shiur, from the teachings of Rabbi Yankiv. De Rabbi Yankiv Ish Kfar Chitya have a Makbil Ape de Rabbe Kol Yoima. This Rabbi Yankiv from the village of Chitya would greet his teacher every day. Kikosh Omar Le Lo Nitzdar Mor De Lo Yochil Mor. So it seems from the context that the teacher said to Rabbi Yankiv that when Rabbi Yankiv became old, don't put yourself out. It's difficult. You're not able to come to me thusly. Omar Le, so Rabbi Yankiv says back, Mi zuter mai dechtivu barabonan, is it a small matter, that which it says concerning the rabbis? Vichi oid lonetzach lo yirei hashochas kira chachomim yomuso? And here the Gemara explains, Uma haroya chachomim b'misoson yichya. Mind you, someone who sees chachomim in their death, that is merit enough for the one who saw them to have life. B'chayein alachas kamo kamo, one who sees Torah scholars when they're still alive, all the more so. Rav Idi Avua de Rav Yankiv Bar Idi have a rogil de have a ozil. Tlosa Yarchi Beurcha V'chadyuma Bebe Rav. This Rav Idi was accustomed to traveling 3 months. 3 months on the road. It took him 3 months on the road to go from his house to a base medrash. He would travel from after Pesach 3 months on the road, arrive in the Beis Medrash, and learn there 1 day. That's what the Chad Yuman, 1 day, Bebei Rav, in the yeshiva itself. Vahavu Koru Le Rabbonon, and the rabbis that were there, the students or the rabbis that were there, they called him Bar Bei Rav de Chad Yoma, the 1 day student. Cholash Daite, that made him feel bad, that he was referred to in this somewhat derisive manner. He referred to himself, Schok L'Reyehu Eheya, I became the joke of my friends. Omar Le Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said to him, B'matusa minach, I plead with you, Lo Tanish Lehu Rabbonan. Don't punish them. Don't cause them to suffer. Rabbi Yochanan seemed to be pleading with him to be forgiving of them for their unwarranted behavior toward him. Nofak Rabbi Yochanan lebei medrashim v'darash. Then Rabbi Yochanan went and taught. The pasuk says, "V'oisi yoyim yoyim yidroshun v'das drachai yechpotsun." Is it so that only during the daytime we seek out the Almighty and not at night? So what does the pasuk mean when it says "Oisi yoyim yoyim yidroshun"? This teaches us, "Kol ha'oisik b'Torah filu yoyim echad b'shana." He who engages in Torah study even 1 day of the year, and let us put to keep things in context, we would say that's the old, he has only 1 day of the year to study Torah. Ma'alav ha'kosuf ki'ilu asa kol hashana kulu. The pasuk, the verse, views him as someone who spent the entire year in Torah study. V'chein b'midas puronis, and likewise with the negative, with sinful behavior. D'chtiv v'mispar yomim mashir tartem es haaretz. This pasuk is in the context of the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sent into Eretz Yisrael, and they spent 40 days there, and they brought back their evil report. And as a result of the public's accepting of their report, the Jews were sentenced to 40 years in the desert. V'chi arboim shana chatu. Did they sin 40 years? The pasuk itself says that according to the number of days that you toured the land, that you scouted out or spied the land, so according to that number, they would be punished. Now we know that the Jews spent 40 years in the desert. So the Gemara points out, v'chi arboim shana chatu, did they sin for 40 years? V'alo arboim yom chatu, the sin of the spies was over the course of 40 days. Ela lomar loch, this teaches us, kol ha'ivra avera, afilu yom echad b'shana, he who violates, who sins even 1 day of a year, ma'al of a kosuv kilu of our kol hashana kulatz, he's viewed as if he sinned all year. The Gemara continues with a reference to the Mishnah, which described the Kotan who was exempt from Riyah. Eizehu Kotan kol shenu yochol lirkov al ksefoy shel aviv. The Lalois Mushalayim Laharbayas. Divrei Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said that a minor who is exempt is someone who is so young, so small that he can't even ride on his father's shoulders from Jerusalem to the Temple Mount. And Beis Hillel said, Beis Hillel Omrim kol shenu yochol lechoiz biyodei shel aviv v'lalois Mushalayim Laharbayas. He is anyone who is young, that he cannot walk on his own 2 feet while holding his father's hands, walking from Jerusalem to the Temple Mount. If he is capable of doing that, only then would we say he is a katan that has to appear for mitzvah Re'iyah. Maskif lo Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera asks, regarding the Mishnah, Ad Hocha Man Asye, up till Jerusalem, who brought him? Rashi at the top says, Ad Hocha Man Asye, Ad Yerushalayim Mihavio. Who brought the child till Yerushalayim? The Chdei Aliyah, and you'll notice that the way we're reading Rashi is we're reading according to Bach, the bracketed section is inserted over here. The Chdei Aliyah Mishalayim Larabayas, Ata Oimer Shiachanchu. You're saying that from going from Jerusalem to the Temple Mount, there upon for the, there, over that let's say distance, there is a mitzvah of educating, of training the child. The Ad Yerushalayim Yavio, and up until Jerusalem, who brought him? Valo Mishu Yochol Liyos Chutz Limo. It would appear obvious that a child that could be away from his mother, Yochol Echos Biaroviv, he certainly is able to hold the father's hand and walk. A very young child is extremely dependent on his mother, but we're assuming right now that you have a child that came from far away, a great distance from Jerusalem, left his mother home, and now you're evaluating the age of the child, if he's incapable of riding on his father's shoulders, or he's incapable of holding his father's hand. What do you mean? If he left his mother far away, of course he's reached the age where he can hold his father's hand and walk together with him to the from Jerusalem to the Temple Mount. So the Gemara explains, Omar le Abaye, ad hocha, from wherever he lived till here, till Jerusalem, the mechayva imei besimcha. The mother didn't stay at home. The mother is obligated, women are obligated in the mitzvah of simcha, of experiencing joy over the course of the holiday. The women are, true, they're exempt from mitzvahs re'iyah, as the Mishnah indicated, but the mitzvah of simcha, they participate in the mitzvah of simcha. They're, we'll say they're part of that mitzvah. The pasuk says, "V'samachta ato ve'secha," that you and your household shall participate in simcha. So the woman who must be in Jerusalem for simcha, so she brought the child from that far away location to Jerusalem. So that's aisisa ime. Let's read that again. Abai says, "Ad hocha de mechayvo ime besimcha." Aisisa ime. Aisisa means she brought the child till Jerusalem. The mother brought the child. So the child wasn't away from his mother. Therefore, we could in fact be dealing with a very young child. Mikan v'elech, from Jerusalem, the point to which the mother brought the child, from Jerusalem to the Temple Mount, im yochol lalos v'lechos b'yodei shaloviv, Mishloim Maharabayis chayev, in following Beis Hillel's standard, if he could hold the hand of his father and walk on his own 2 feet from Jerusalem till the Temple Mount, then the child is obligated in the mitzvah. V'i lo, and if he cannot do that, poter, he is exempt. We have a few lines that represent a question. Heshiv Rebbe Tachas Beis Hillel LeDivrei Beis Shammai. Rebbe took over the point of view of Beis Hillel and argued against Beis Shammai. Just to review, Beis Hillel's standard is Yochol Echos B'yodei Shaloviv, and Beis Shammai's standard is regarding a child is much younger if he's able Lirkoiv Al Ksefu Shaloviv. So Beis Hillel, in challenging Beis Shammai, and I should say Rebbe representing Beis Hillel challenging Beis Shammai, says the pasuk says V'chano lo also ki omro le'isha ad yigomel hanar ve'vioisiv. Chana is the name of the woman, the mother of Shmuel Hanavi. And Chana did not accompany her husband to Jerusalem for Aliyas HaRegel till 24 months, till the child was 2 years old. Now, once a child reaches 1 year of age, V'ha Shmuel, the Yochol Shmuel is the prophet Shmuel, the Yochol Yerkoiv al Ksefoi Shel Oviv Havei, By the time he was 1 month, he would have been able to ride on his father's shoulders. So why does the Pasuk say that Chana kept Shmuel away from Jerusalem for a period of 2 years? Then until he was weaned away from nursing, which is a 2 year period, during those 2 years, she didn't bring him to Jerusalem, even though, according to Beis Shammai's standard, she should have brought him to Jerusalem, and at the age of 1 year, he would have been able to ride on his father's shoulders from Jerusalem to the Temple Mount. And yet, that didn't take place. So this is Rebbe arguing on behalf of Beis Hillel, showing that even if he is capable of riding on the father's shoulders, he's still too young, because he's not able to hold his father's hands and walk on his own 2 feet. Omar le Abaye, uletameich, according to you, tikshi lo chana gufa, why are you raising a question from this pasuk on Beis Shammai with regard to the child, when Chana's own behavior is questionable? Mi lo mechaivo besimcha, wasn't Chana herself obligated in simcha? Now, the pasuk says she didn't come to Jerusalem for 2 years. So what's the story behind Chana herself? Ela Chana mefankusa yiserta chazio be b'shmuel. Chana, the mother, noticed that the child Shmuel mefankusa, we'll explain here, as being was an overly sensitive infant. The choshabe b'Shmuel lechusha durchan. She was concerned. She was worried about his getting too weak as a result of a long trip of the road, and therefore the issue of Chana and Shmuel doesn't even begin to figure as a point of, let's say, question on Beis Shammai. Boy Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. And we have a question that lasts a few lines. Rabbi Lakish asks, Koton chiger ledivrei Beis Shammai v'suma ledivrei shnei emahu. There are two individuals featured in Rabbi Lakish's question. One is a child who's lame. Lameness indicates the inability to walk. Someone who, though, could be carried on one's father's shoulders. A cotton who is chiger, as lame, according to Beis Shammai. Now, what's Beis Shammai's standard? A child that can ride on his father's shoulders, such a child is to participate in the mitzvah of Re'iyah. What happens if the child himself is lame? And Suma, L'divrei Shneim, a blind child, according to both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Rashi adds that as far as the lame child, the question is focused on Beis Shammai, because according to Beis Hillel, the fact that he is capable of being carried on his father's shoulders doesn't make the child obligated to begin with. So only with regard to Beis Shammai is there a reason for raising this question. That's as far as the feet are concerned. Now, as far as an eyesight is concerned, a person who lacks eyesight, Rashi says, is someone that could hold his father's hand and be led by his father. Now we're dealing with a child who is blind. What is the din, both according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Mahu, what is the din with regard to these children participating in mitzvahs for Iyah? Heichi domi, we have to first discover some additional circumstances. What are we talking about? And here we have a double underline to highlight the stages of analysis. If we're talking about lameness that can never get better, v'sumo she'eino yochol ispateach, or blindness that will never become sighted, hashta godol poter koton mibaya, an adult that suffers from these deficiencies, permanent lameness or permanent blindness, an adult like that would be exempt. Is there any need to raise the question concerning a minor? He would be obviously exempt. Lo sricha, the question is necessary to be asked. Bechiger sheyochol lispashe v'suma sheyochol lispateach, a type of lameness that will get better before he becomes an adult, or blindness that will disappear before he becomes an adult. My, what is the din regarding children like this? It's a non-permanent lameness, non-permanent blindness. Omar Abaye, kol hecha de godol mechayev midoraisa kot nami mechanchinon le midrabonan. The standard is as follows: in any situation that an adult would be obligated on a Torah level, so the child is to be educated in that particular mitzvah rabbinically. Kol hecha de godol poter midoraisa. Any situation where the adult in that state would be exempt on a Torah level, kotanami poter midrabanan, the child, rabbinically speaking, would be exempt. Therefore, an adult that is currently lame or he's currently blind would not be chayav. Therefore, a child that is in that state, even though he could get better, he is likewise exempt. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.